Romans 8:17. Heirs of a king. If I found out that my father was a king, I would immediately think about all the things that would eventually be mine. My imagination would run wild thinking about money, possessions, power, and fame that I would someday inherit. Our reality in Christ, however, is much greater than that. Our Father is the King of the universe. And Romans 8:17 plainly states that we are co-heirs with Christ. I can imagine a lot about what I might inherit. However, the scriptures say we cannot even imagine the things that God has prepared for us. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Jesus, teach us to and speak to us from your word today. We want to know you, to follow you, to learn from you, and to become like you. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of your word. Romans 8:17. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The first meditation question is, what does it mean to be heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ? What will we inherit? We are blessed beyond imagination as children of God. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, as it says in Ephesians 1:3. Paul said in Romans 8:17 that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. There are many verses that refer to our sonship and to our being heirs of God. However, for example, Paul said in Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Hebrews 1:2 says that God has spoken through Jesus, his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Colossians 1:16 also explains that all things were created through Christ and for him. It says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. I share these verses about the supremacy of Christ without going into much detail to point out that Jesus himself is the center and goal of all things. All things were made for him, and he has authority over all things. Therefore, to be heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ includes all that Christ is, including his power, authority, and glory. As quoted from 1 Corinthians 2:9, we cannot imagine, nor has it entered into the heart of anyone, the things that God has prepared for us. The idea that as children of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ is not a fairy tale. It is the promise of God. If this is true, and it is, our perspective on life should radically change. We should be entirely captivated by the vision of being heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The second meditation question is, why does God allow us to share in Christ's sufferings? What does suffering have to do with sharing in his glory? The second half of Romans 8:17 says, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Some people preach that God will give us anything we want. They teach that God will take away our problems and make us happy all of the time. So no one wants to suffer, so we sometimes read over verses about suffering, hoping that they don't apply to us. Although Jesus gives us abundant life and true happiness in him, he also allows us to go through trials and suffering, which is a theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. The Bible talks a lot about suffering. Paul wrote extensively about the suffering and persecution he endured. I don't think Paul enjoyed pain, but he knew that through suffering he would experience deeper fellowship with Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:10, Paul wrote, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. In 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, Peter also said that we should rejoice in sufferings, which would result in the revelation of his glory. It says, beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that has come upon you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed at the revelation of his glory. I'm giving you several verses that talk about glory and suffering, which I think will provide an understanding of how these two words are used together in the scriptures. I don't think we will be glorified with Christ because we have endured great suffering through our own willpower, but that through suffering we have been transformed into the image of Jesus. God's goal is to make us like Christ. Perhaps we will be able to share and reflect the glory of Christ in eternity to the degree that we have been changed into his likeness here. Jesus spoke of the glory he gave to his disciples in John 17, 22, and 23. He said, I have given them glory. This is part of his prayer. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfectly united so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. Jesus explained that the glory is I in them and you in me, referring to his Father. In other words, the glory of God himself is revealed in us individually and corporately through the indwelling presence of God. Mankind could not live in the glory of God because of sin, but Jesus came to restore God's original plan for us to live in his glory. We are refined and purified through trials and suffering so that Christ can be revealed in us and through us. 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7 describes this process. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus, and he is able to reveal himself in us more fully and more fully through us through trials and suffering. Catching a glimpse of our internal inheritance with Christ gives us a perspective on suffering that encourages and strengthens our faith. So what is Jesus saying to me from this verse? I felt he was saying, I have called you both to suffering and to glory. You are a co-heir with me. Focus on your identity in me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for suffering for us. You were mocked, spit upon, and rejected for us. Thank you that you understand and that you are with us when we face sufferings and trials. And again, I want to encourage you to share the word with your sharing partner daily, as written in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing and teaching one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.